Bread that came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, They shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. This Sunday, we're continuing to read from John chapter 6, which of course focuses on Jesus beginning, or the most important part of the beginning of his teaching on the Eucharist. And these events that we just read about take place probably about a year before his crucifixion. So we today have already entered into what is called the Bread of Life discourse, where Jesus tells us he himself is the bread of life, and we are to consume him for our redemption. But I'd like to go in a slightly different direction on this gospel and say that our gospel, and it's actually true about every gospel passage that we read at Mass or read at home, our gospel is ultimately about a decision. That's the word that evangelist Billy Graham always has used. And we each are compelled by our Lord Jesus Christ to make a decision every time we confront him, every time we confront his word. Indeed, who could come face to face with Jesus Christ and not be forced to make a decision? And the decision is there are only two options. The decisions are either going to be about life or death, life or death. And that phrasing of the decision actually goes back at least to Moses. You find it in Deuteronomy as he's giving his last testament. He's about to die. So he's giving his last testament to the Israelites. And he says, choose life or choose death. Choose life is to choose God, to choose the God of Israel, Yahweh, is to choose God's ways. And the other way is death. And so that the word death has been used since almost the very beginning in sacred scripture. So we know, and I'm sure everyone here believes this, that no one could claim to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and not be proudly pro-life. Jesus himself is the bread of life. So we are people who are about life. And Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life, as giving his flesh for the life of the world. And when you and I choose Jesus, we always choose life, and ultimately we're choosing eternal life. But if we decide against Jesus, we choose death. That's really the only alternative. And in fact, deliberate, conscious decision against Jesus Christ is always a turning to Satan. And of all things, Scripture says that Satan is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So Satan is always identified with death. In our American culture today, especially in very recent years, these life and death decisions have become quite stark. They're really fast being imposed on us. It's not something we want to be talking about. But we know that every Catholic in America is aware that the most obvious, most gruesome way in which we personally reject Jesus Christ, our most obvious choice against him is our tolerance for, of course, abortion, the deliberate crushing of the most innocent, the most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters. But there are other grave evils. And we mentioned in our handout in the bulletin last week, 5 intrinsically grave evils. There are others, but these are the ones that are trying to be imposed on us. And these grave evils, we Catholics are required to oppose at all times and in all places. And we are reminded that there is a hierarchy of truths in Catholic social teaching, starting with, we could say that the principle really is the dignity of every single human life. And so in social teaching, at the foundation, we must defend innocent human life. Of course, we must protect marriage. Of course, we must have a concern for the poor. If our Lord is in fact the Lord of life, the author of all life, the creator, and if we are his creatures, the recipients of his love, then we must refer all life and death issues, including abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, and we can say even same-sex marriage falls into this category, to the Father of us all. We may never compromise on any of these evils. We have to always do what we can within our own circumstances to oppose them. And in fact, we are judging all other important issues. There are many other important issues through the lens of truth, in this truth, and also in terms of a genuine concern for all our brothers and sisters. So when we make decisions, it's not about how I feel, what I'm going to get from the decision. It's about what is true and good and beautiful and what is right for the common good, for all our brothers and sisters, certainly in our family, in our parish, in our local community, and way beyond our local community, which I think the missionary who was here last Sunday reminded us that our brothers and sisters are way out there and in all kinds of dangers. Now, the primary premise that we must lay down is the fact that we are created in the image of God. And this reality is key to our Catholic morality and our spirituality. God created us. God created us to be good. God created us to grow and to develop and to worship and to love him. We are to be fruitful and multiply and participate in God's creative love, educating our children in God's law. And following this path, we, in multiple ways, become more human. In other words, we grow in the life that God gave us. We are to love all God's children, especially the most unlovable, the most unloved. And because God created us, his being is present in each of us. And of course, you and I know that on a natural level, we are brothers and sisters with every single person on the face of this earth. People we don't like, we are their brothers and sisters because of our relationship to God. And in addition, with those who are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are spiritually their brothers and sisters. So that's another dimension. And even with this very basic foundation, we can draw some conclusions about life and its inherent worth. The first being that every human life has inherently tremendous dignity. And this dignity doesn't depend about how you or I feel or what their circumstance is. That dignity is a gift to them from God. And we could go so far as to say that the dignity of every human life is written on each human's very being by virtue of his or her existence. So every human being has tremendous worth by the very fact of his or her existence as a human being, because of having been created by God and for God. So there are no circumstances which can lessen this God-given worth of every human being. A poor person does not have less worth than a rich person. Someone in poor health has the same worth as a very healthy person. Our circumstances, in other words, do not determine our dignity. Our vulnerability, our weaknesses, we all have weaknesses, these do not determine our dignity. And with this as background, I want to say a very specific word about embryonic stem cell research. That was one of the grave evils in the bulletin last week. A grave intrinsic evil which, again, every Catholic must do what they can to oppose. I failed the first semester of biology in college, so I don't know why I'm talking to you about stem cells, but I'll tell you what I think I know. Stem cells are the building blocks of human tissue. Now, an embryo is actually a human being, a very small and born human being in the early stages of growth, perhaps conceived immorally by way of in vitro fertilization rather than naturally. But the Catholic Church rejects the idea that a human embryo, in other words, an unborn human being, does not have the very same moral standing as other human beings. And just as it would be gravely immoral for you or me to be subjected to destruction in the name of scientific research, we may never accept the claim that the embryo is not human and therefore has no standing in our human family. We may never accept the claim that circumstances reduce the worth of a human being, even a very small human being made in the image of God. The worth of every human being is a fact. It doesn't depend on what our opinion is or how we feel about it. It's a fact. The worth of every human being comes from God. The truth of the dignity and worth of every human being is not altered, for example, by the fact that on television you might see some Hollywood personalities publicly trying to convince us that only if we would allow scientific research on unborn children, all our medical ailments could be remedied. As far as I know, there is precious little evidence that embryonic stem cell research is of any value. And remember, this involves actually destroying a human being. Nearly all promising developments in this area of stem cell research come from adult stem cell research, using the cells of persons after birth in a way that does not violate their human dignity or threaten their destruction. And even if embryonic stem cell research were ever to be shown to be of value, it would still be gravely immoral. The most recent stem cell development I've heard about was this past week, and it involves adult stem cell research, which is entering the testing phase to treat acute spinal cord injury. Embryonic stem cells have yet to help a single human patient. No one has ever been helped by embryonic stem cell research. However, adult stem cell research is very promising. Now, of course, the Church teaches that parents, of course, have no right to consent in the destruction of their children, whether their children are born or unborn. In normal cases, parents, yes, can speak for their children, but they can't speak for their children and say it's okay to kill the child. Adult stem cell research may be pursued always with regard to the dignity and well-being of the person involved. In fact, this kind of scientific research, which respects the human person, should always be welcomed. We as Catholics welcome this research if it is pursued in a way befitting to the glory of God. Now, what's the situation in our own country? As I understand it, by law for many years, there was limited embryonic stem cell research, severely restricted, that has been legal. However, recently, our present government has sought to lift restrictions on embryonic stem cell research and even to provide federal funding for this immoral activity. And what must be our positions as Catholics on these immoral experiments on unborn human beings? As people of life, we're all people of life. As people of life, we must definitively say no. And as citizens, we must ensure that in our democratic process, we are not in any way ever supporting politicians who are involved in promoting this very grave evil. Brothers and sisters, if today an undeveloped human embryo is judged by some of our politicians to be of no worth simply because it is undeveloped and unwanted, will others in our human family who may be deemed unwanted and unlovable also become subject to a death sentence and to experimentation? If our society decides to base the worth of human beings on our circumstances in life rather than on the objective reality of being God's creatures created in his very image, we as a society are in deep, deep trouble. We will have adopted completely, you add abortion to all this, we will have adopted completely the morality of Nazi Germany, whose remember what happened after World War II. The leaders of Nazi Germany who were still living after World War II were judged by the civilized world in the Nuremberg trials to be criminals for having engaged in similar experiments on defenseless human beings. Now just think, who would be competent to decide that you are no longer have any worth except as an object for scientific research, or that you are costing the healthcare system too much money? It sounds overly simplistic, this is true. When God is left out of the equation, Satan fills the void. Satan rules and violence ensues. If God is left out of the equation, Satan fills the void, Satan will rule, and violence ensues. Jesus gave his flesh for the life of the world. Pray that you and I may see Christ in all people, especially in the most vulnerable and in the most unloved. And may our decision as citizens, our response to Jesus Christ, always be yes to life.